You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And we're breaking it down fantasy style in a couple of minutes. The Tony Cincotta will join us. It's Martin Luther King Day. There's a full slate of National Basketball Association games, including some high-profile fantasy matchups, man. We got ourselves a Monday treat. A little Golden State Warriors, Cleveland Cavaliers for anybody tonight. If that doesn't fancy you. You got the Oklahoma City. I don't think I've ever said fancy you before in my life on television before, but hey, first time for everything. If that doesn't fancy you, you've got Westbrook, you got Paul, you got the Thunder. You don't like the NBA? You like college? That's all good. Steve Merrill's going to join. We're going to break down the Kansas Jayhawks and the Iowa State Cyclones. They're throwing it down. What else is going on? Oh yeah, the National Football League is down to its Final Four. We'll kick the tires on the opening numbers. We got some monster totals on the board. In fact, it tied for the highest total ever. It's been sort of bouncing around, but 2012 we had the highest total ever in a playoff game of 60. This is, it's hovering right now. It's 60, it's 59 and a half, it's 60 and a half, depending on when and where you're going to bet this thing. But the National Football League down to the AFC and the NFC Conference Championship games. Unbelievable stuff that we saw over the weekend, and it's going to continue. It's going to continue. This is a pedigree playoff that we're dealing with this weekend. We got four quarterbacks. We got seven Super Bowl rings between them. All right, Tom Brady's got four of them. Matt Ryan's the only quarterback playing this weekend that doesn't have a Super Bowl championship yet, and he's probably going to be the most valuable player this year. And they should really wait for this, actually. Let it ride out, because we're seeing Matt Ryan's living up to what he did in the regular season right now, but they're going to be in real tough, man, against the Packers, and I'll tell you what, this is not going to be a party for the New England Patriots either. This is a fired up Pittsburgh Steelers football team that haven't lost in a hell of a long time, so we're going to be breaking it all down, but let's open up the program like we do every Monday with Who Ruined Your Sunday? And I got to tell you what, guys, it's finally come to pass. This is a good problem to have, actually, because I can stand here after 19 weeks of National Football League football and tell you, nobody ruined our Sunday. And yeah, it kind of ruins the segment. I can't, you know, what am I to stand here and tell you? You know, Le'Veon Bell's great. You know, what can I tell you? I guess I could pick on the losing teams, but I'd be faking it. I'd be faking it. Now, if you watched our playoff prediction video, we told you right here on Game Time Decisions, before the playoffs started, that the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons would face off in the Super Bowl. Well, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but hey, we're getting pretty close right now, aren't we? Anybody that paid attention to our NFL picks this week, and I know a lot of you do, or at least a lot of you do when my picks suck, and then you chirp, but when I win, you freaking disappear. But nevertheless, anyone who paid attention, you know, what can we say? We ran the damn table, all right? We told you that the Atlanta Falcons were going to beat the Seattle Seahawks. I told you to moneyline the Atlanta Falcons and lay 15 points with the Patriots and cash yourself a plus 175 parlay. It cashed. If you joined me as I tweeted like I told you to, I was on the New England Patriots pregame show about 15 minutes before the game on WEEI, the powerhouse. I told people, this game's going to go over the number. 44 is too low. People are thinking Houston's not going to be able to score. Houston will be able to score, and the game will go over the number, but lay the points. Boom. Cash them both. Leading into the next day. And oh yeah, I told them on the Patriots pregame show that the Green Bay Packers would win on the money line, which they did, which I told you guys to take the points. I told you to take the over. I told you to take the Aaron Rodgers prop over. I told you to take the Dak Prescott prop over. I told you to take the long field goal over. The long field goal was free freaking money, man. You got Crosby. You got Bailey. You're playing on a carpet indoors out there in Texas. We cashed that 3 minutes into the damn football game. You know, it's pretty good, man. The worst thing I can say about that game yesterday is I pushed on a Devontae Adams prop. Son of a bitch. All right, let's bitch about that a little bit. How about you catch a damn football, Devontae? All right, well, you got targeted like 9 times. What am I going to say, man? The guy's a stud. He stepped up, man. The guy's making plays. The prop was a little high at 5. We got to push. Screw you, Devontae. But I don't really mean it. I don't really mean it. So it was winner, 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 winner. And in fact, we went 7-0-1 in that Green Bay Packer game because we took the second half over. We took a couple of in-game overs as well, like I said. And the funny thing is, I wasn't angry, but I was a little perturbed that I got the push, actually. A little bit perturbed that I got the push on Devontae Adams. But it wasn't all peaches and cream and winning parlays. We were on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we grabbed the Pittsburgh Steelers on the money line as well, as I figured out, points. And where we went wrong, and weather was not a factor in a football game, but I was feeling pretty good about myself right now. I don't know if Donald Trump's going to make America great again, but he's making my picks great again, and that's all that matters. Continuing from the national championship game, we want to ride this party all the way through to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we had the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the game. We had them plus the points, but we also, because we're degenerate and we couldn't get enough, we teased it to the over. And unfortunately, how can I really rip the Pittsburgh Steelers? Unbelievable that they won the game and they didn't score a touchdown. And then the game creeped under the number as far as the teaser was concerned. It was kind of ironic because if Kansas City would have gotten that 2-point convert, then the teaser would have been in play and the teaser would have hit. But nevertheless, when it's all said and done, we'll take it. Although, I can't do a who ruined your Sunday without throwing somebody under the bus. I can tell you that I took a red eye from Vancouver to Toronto, and I don't know what the deal is, man, but there's always screaming babies on every damn flight that I take. Listen. Yeah, I'm starting to believe that airplanes should be like strip clubs. No babies allowed, all right? There should be like, the kid airline type of deal. If you want to bring your kids, who brings two babies on a red eye, all right? Who's taking a red eye? A degenerate gambler like myself trying to get back from one coast to the other, or a pissed off businessman trying to get back? You got screaming babies. And I did get stopped by a police officer yesterday in Vancouver. I could say he ruined my Sunday, but he really did. I was looking pretty suspicious. I was milling around in a really weird street, and I had a hood up and everything like that. And actually, it was pretty freaking polite. I was thinking, maybe I'll throw to Vancouver PD. You guys got people dying of fentanyl on every street corner, you're bothering me. But I was looking suspicious. Who wouldn't stop me? I had a hoodie on, I had a Raptor jacket on, and I'm milling around an alley in a quiet hip part of Vancouver. But like I said, people are jamming needles into their necks in that city, all right? I was just having a little halftime break, if you know what I'm saying, BC style. But when it's all said and done, nobody ruined our Sunday. I'm sorry to disappoint you, haters. Don't worry. I'm sure I'll be standing here 7 days from now hating on somebody, but I hope not. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons going to the Super Bowl, and we're halfway there, baby. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we've got a busy show, actually. It's a pretty busy Monday. I was on the road. I want to thank everybody in Vancouver, British Columbia, that came out to the Red Car Sports Bar on Friday night as we wrapped up our 15th anniversary tour, the Canadian part of the tour, at least. Maybe we've got a date or two left, but we're really into year 16 now, so we're kind of past the 15th anniversary, yet nevertheless, shout out to everybody. I'm actually in better shape than I normally am after a red-eye flight. I'm not hungover. That's the difference. I was hungover on Saturday after Friday night, but now it's Monday, although I really haven't slept very much in the last 4 days, and I didn't sleep on the plane at all. And, I want the bitch off the top as well. I could have thrown WestJet out of the bus. Pay $500 for a red-eye flight. They don't even have damn screens on the plane. And then I realized, how old is this plane? And then they're telling me about something. Download the WestJet app and watch movies on your phone. My phone doesn't work when I'm walking on the ground. You think it's going to work when I'm 35,000 feet in the air? Like, come on, man. Like, really, pretty weak. I actually bitched at them on the way out. I mumbled. It's like 6 in the morning at the airport. I'm like, you guys aren't the airline you used to be. He's like, pardon me, sir. I just stormed out. But nevertheless, the Tony Cicada is going to join us. We'll talk some fantasy basketball. We got big-time NBA games for you fantasy DraftKings players. Man, we got a big slate tonight of superstar-laden players for you bettors. We got high-profile games. Great stuff going on all day long. It's Martin Luther King Day, the great Martin Luther King Day. And just like he had a dream, not to trivialize it, but I had a dream that our Who Ruined Your Sunday would be nobody ruined our Sunday. And that's exactly what it was. Steve Merrill joins us right now. What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, nobody ruined my Sunday either. We're always on the same page, I think. Perfect 4-0 sweep on Saturday and Sunday. Although the Pittsburgh Steelers tried to ruin my Sunday night. They dominated that game. I had Pittsburgh plus 2.5 for my clients, and what a travesty that would have been to lose by like 3 in overtime, which is very close to happening had they made that 2-point conversion. Well, they did make the 2-point conversion. Had there not been a penalty on it, I guess. You see that coming. You can't squander all these opportunities to score touchdowns in big games and expect to win. I mean, that's how dominated they were. 6 field goals, they still win the game.
Well, I thought the Chiefs were going to score the 2-point convert and we get screwed and end up losing somehow. I actually bought half a point at one place. It was 2.5. I took them on the money line. I think it was plus 120 or something like that. And then I got them. I was 2.5. I was like, I'll buy it to 3 just in case with this one. Pittsburgh survives. And before the playoffs started, Steve, I said the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons were my AFC and my NFC selections. I said Pittsburgh before the year started, but I said Pittsburgh would play Seattle, but I abandoned ship on Seattle and I jumped on the Falcon bandwagon before the playoffs started. So here we are right now, Steve, and it's interesting. Both the Steelers and the Falcons were in a 9-1 range, 8-1, 9-1 range before the playoffs started. And similar with the Green Bay Packers right now, the Patriots were plus 180. They're only in the plus 130 range. Not much of a change right now with the futures.
Yeah, and I've been saying for several months as well, Pittsburgh was the dark horse in the AFC. I don't think they're necessarily going to go in there and beat New England this week, but obviously it wouldn't be a surprise. It's just funny, you think back to Christmas night, though. If Pittsburgh doesn't go the length of the field in under a minute, they don't even make the playoffs. The Baltimore Ravens win that division instead. So it's remarkable what a thin line it is for some of these teams that even barely make the playoffs and how they go on these runs. Same thing with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. They were a 4-point underdog in Philadelphia on Monday night a couple months ago on a 1-5 slide, and they've won 8 in a row since. Now, so Pittsburgh
I was thinking
won,
the
think,
same thing,
straight.
Steve, about that game actually. That Monday nighter, and I bet on the Packers, and they were costing me during that streak. I kept taking them on teasers. Remember, I was pitching, Steve. I lost at plus 17 with the Packers. They kept on giving it, they were falling apart. But you're right, that Monday nighter was it. There was talk about letting McCarthy go. I don't think they were really going to do that, but it was getting to that point where there were a lot of frustration. I saw a video, people were mocking Terry Bradshaw. They found a video saying that they should keep McCarthy and let Aaron Rodgers go. He's a problem for Green Bay. But you're right. They win that Monday nighter, and boom, here they are right now. And I mentioned, the Falcons were 9-1. The Steelers were 9-1. The Packers, they were all in that range. Right now, they're all in the 4-1 range right now. And so we got a rematch of the Packers and the Falcons, Steve. Great game, first time around. And I have fond memories of this game because I won a Survivor, a $5,000 Survivor pool because of this game.
And look at the quarterbacks remaining, Gabe. By far, not even an argument, the 3 best quarterbacks in the league this year, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Matt Ryan, who's probably the MVP. I mean, he's having an incredible season.
3 of the 4 of them have 7 Super Bowl rings between the 4 of them. Matt Ryan's the only one without a win.
Right, and then the other one, of course, Roethlisberger has multiple rings, like you said, who's as good as anybody in big games. And look at the 4 quarterbacks that lost this weekend. Osweiler. I mean, Prescott, a rookie.
Alex Smith.
Russell Wilson has been very mediocre this season. You just look at Alex Smith. It's you're, in hindsight, it's not rocket science picking these games when you start looking at it that way. I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league, and that's what continues to matter.
You know, Steve, last year when we finished eighth place in the Super Contest, that was almost one of our number one keys. Who's the better quarterback? Do we have a quarterback that's, you know, do we like the quarterback matchup? And they don't play head-to-head, but we did very well. And this year, I kind of got away from that a little bit, and you're right, it's not rocket science. And you look back on it, it's like, yeah, the Atlanta Falcons with a great quarterback play this year, they're covering point spreads. A similar situation with the New England Patriots. But here we are right now, Steve. It's pretty much tied. We had a total of 60 in 2012. The Lions and the Saints. 2012, it was 60, and it did go over the number. It's sort of bouncing around this number right now, but I don't think it's going to come. It's not dropping below 59.5. I think it'll just go back up as the week goes on.
Yeah, right now, I'm looking at three different consensus sites, and about 65% of the consensus right now, bets and public, are on the over. So I'd be surprised if it drops as well. I think it actually might go higher. You know, a lot of times these big numbers scare the recreational players, but I think in this case, after seeing, you know, the games this weekend and it being an overdriven bet in general by the public on big games, and yeah, I think this stays 6-year high. This will close as the highest total in recent history. The highest total ever was in the 2000 regular season. The Rams 49ers had a total on that one that closed at 61.5, and it only totaled 34-24. It was a 58-point game. So we've seen it before, but that was a regular season game in Candlestick. That's when the Rams were a high-octane team. Yeah, that Detroit-New Orleans playoff game is interesting because that total was anywhere from 58 to 60, depending on where you shopped around. And this one is going to be higher.
I got an early prop pick here, Steve. Under and punts, Falcons-Packers.
Well, the thing, too, is it's dome conditions, you know, so we have no weather issues whatsoever.
They're 9-0 to the over at home this year, the Falcons, and the Packers now 6 straight of 30 or more.
And Green Bay, and we talked about this on Friday's show, you know, Green Bay, a terrible defensive team on the road, but their run defense was decent this year. Their pass defense was god-awful.
Yeah.
And Dallas isn't a passing-type offense.
You know, exactly.
That's not the kind of team that exploits it. Atlanta, totally different matchup for him.
You're exactly right, Steve. You and I, you and I rise and fall together, I guess, because I'm thinking the same thing, and I've been riding the Packers, but I'm like, end of the line for you guys. You know, you had the Giants. Eli Manning was shaky in the second half. The receivers dropped touchdown passes in the first half. It got away from them, as you mentioned. The Dallas Cowboys, not a great passing team. The Cowboys wanted to run the ball. They were taken out of their game plan. Green Bay still have a shoddy secondary. They still have a ton of injuries back there. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been great and stuff, but he's going to have to score 35 points because we're seeing this Falcon team. I told you, Steve, this isn't the same Falcon team that's going to choke in the pass. Their offense is a juggernaut, and they don't seem to be fazed by the playoffs right now. And even though you and I agreed that we thought Seattle's secondary was overrated and the Hawks were overrated, even though, you know, we all knew they didn't have Earl Thomas, I mean, Seattle's secondary is still a hell of a lot better than what Green Bay's going to put in front of Matt Ryan this week.
Green Bay's given up 8.5 yards per pass on the road this season. And, I mean, a lot of people might not know stats, but 6.5 to 7 is pretty bad. 8.5 is horrendous. And now you've got Matt Ryan, who's having one of the best seasons in recent history by many quarterbacks. He's averaging over 9.3 yards per pass attempt this season. He has the fourth highest quarterback rating in the history of the NFL this year.
You see when they blitz him, Steve? I saw the number during the game the other day. If you blitz Matt Ryan, he's got like 14 touchdown passes and one interception. Blitzing doesn't work.
Yeah, and he's got just great weapons. Now, Jones is still banged up, but he's going to play. I think the real question mark here about the total as well, if it does move, is Jordy Nelson. He was out last week, of course. He's listed as questionable. You know, normally I wouldn't think he's going to play, but with these big playoff games, you know, if a guy can walk a lot of times, they put him out there.
Yeah, he says he will.
You know, whether he's effective or not is another question, though. I don't think he's 100% no matter what he does.
All right. You know, it's like last week, Steve. It happened to me last week with every guest, too. We started out with a Falcons-Seahawks game. We ate up all the time breaking down.
That's good stuff, though.
and we gave people winners last week. Steelers and Patriots, point spread feels a little high, and I'll tell you what, the Steelers right now, you can look at their numbers. By the way, it's a 9-game win streak now. You can look at their numbers defensively. They're better than their numbers show. James Harrison's a freak, man. This guy's 38 years old. He's still killing it. Bud Dupree, healthy. They got a bunch of dudes, man, these young guys, man, that are healthy right now. They're starting to come together, this Pittsburgh team. And we all know how dangerous they are on offense, even though, ironically, they couldn't score. They proved it yesterday, Steve. Their defense won a football game for them yesterday.
Yeah, and of course, as you know, I think Kansas City, vastly overrated team. Offensively, they put up a lot of non-offensive scores this season. But Pittsburgh's a good defense. They're giving up only 19 points a game against teams that average 22. They give up 5.7 yards per play against teams that average 5.7. So overall, I think they're an above-average defense. And their offense is obviously a lot more capable than we saw last night with six field goals. They moved that ball up and down the field against a decent Kansas City defense. New England's a tough team to handicap. You almost have to throw the numbers out whenever you're looking at their stats. We've said this for years now with Belichick and company. They outplay their stats. You know, their yards per play numbers are always very mediocre. Tom Brady had two interceptions all season. He threw two against Houston. Both were deflected, especially the first one hit the receiver right in the hands. And they still won the game and covered and won by 18 with three turnovers, a fumble and two interceptions. Yeah, so this is a really good New England
return
team.
I know. They're a complete team. But I tell you, that offense wasn't clicking. Without Gronkowski, you know, it's not the same. I think the 6 points looks pretty attractive right now.
Well, also the best defense in the league technically against Houston. Yeah. I don't think Pittsburgh's quite at that level, though.
Oh, and they played well. Houston's defense brought it. Those guys brought it. All right, Steve, let's talk some basketball. We'll talk about the football later in the week. We got the Cavaliers and the Warriors. Monday treat. Normally we don't have huge games like this. It's funny. Martin Luther King Day kind of crept up on me. I was on the road, and I was like, oh, it's Big Monday. We got the big Big 12, Kansas and Iowa State game tonight. And I'm like, oh, man. And then I got all confused because I was in the West Coast, and my computer automatically went to Pacific time. So I was like, oh, the Cavs-Warriors is at 5 because it's a holiday, and I'm all over the place, Steve. But nevertheless, 8 o'clock tonight, Cavs and Warriors, big-time game. Man, the Cavs have beaten them 4 straight times right now, Steve.
Yeah, these are two of the best records for each conference. Golden State, the best team in the league, obviously. Cleveland, the best record in the East. But they're both several games under 500 against the spread. So they have not been covering as favorites. Now, of course, it's a different situation with Cleveland as a dog tonight. Cavs are just 2-3 against the spread as a dog this season. However, those three losses, LeBron did not play all three times. He's played twice as an underdog, and they're a perfect 2-0 straight up and against the spread in those games. And that includes the Christmas Day home underdog win against Golden State. This is a big revenge spot now for the Warriors. So I think there'll be plenty of focus, really double revenge from both the finals and that Christmas Day loss. And we'll see, though. It's a big number, 7.5. Obviously, the Cavs don't catch that kind of a number with LeBron and company, but I still think Golden State, the best team in the league.
You know, Steve, that's the thing. I was all like, oh, the Warriors. Like you said, it was a big revenge spot last time. We can't forget the Warriors were in control of the game.
Cleveland on the road.
Yeah, yeah. Cleveland haven't been great on this road trip either. Right? So they beat Phoenix and they beat Sacramento, but they got beat down by Utah and they got beat down by Portland. So the two better teams they played, they lost to. I think they were sort of kind of coasting into this game. It's to me, I don't know, it's almost like I got burnt with Ronda Rousey. Even though there's nothing to like about her, while we're getting Rousey at -130, I got to take her. And it's like, man, I got to take the Cavs. Like you said, the last time they were getting 7 points, the big three were out against Memphis. You know, they never get points like this. And as far as the total, Steve, I see it's up to 229 right now. You know, I looked at this, and you know I'm a big over guy. The last 10 times they played, it's only gone over 229 points once, Steve.
Right.
Once. You know, in the finals, they kept checking in the 208, 210 range. This is an incredibly high total. Even that Christmas Day game only got to 217.
Yeah, I ran a lot of numbers for the Christmas Day game, and my first thought was, wow, we have a lot of value, because I have so much in my database from the finals the last couple years when they played, you know, to really get some accurate total numbers, which I love to do. But then again, I had to kind of throw them out, because with Durant in the lineup now, it's a different team, and they're more offense, less defense now than ever at Golden State. And that game did land within about a basket of that total on Christmas Day. This is a big number, but there again, I think if you like Golden State at home, you figure it's going to be even a higher scoring, faster paced game tonight.
All right, the other game, big time, Thunder and Clippers. Clippers are laying 7.5. They're a streaky team. They started out hot. They went on the losing streak. Right now they're on a 6-game win streak. Oklahoma City, kind of streaky as well. They're on a roll right now. And Oklahoma City have played well against the Clippers. They've won 4 of 5 and 5 of 7 against this team. Russell Westbrook from Los Angeles. He likes to go off. He goes off everywhere. But I like the points tonight in this game. I like the underdog.
Yeah, line's actually going higher. It opened as low as 7, 7.5. There's some eights out there now. Good. So very similar to that Golden State line. Yeah, the Clippers almost an 8-point favorite now. They have won 6 straight games entering here. But like you said, Oklahoma City playing well. They had 4-1 straight up in ATS their last 5. They've been a favorite in almost every one of those games. This is a big step up in class. In fact, this is the biggest underdog they've been almost since early December. They were a 7-point dog at Utah and lost by 20. So they actually haven't been playing very tough opponents recently.
Yeah, you know, neither are the Clippers, though. And, you know, the Clippers, it's cute. They haven't lost since it's 2017. They also haven't left the state of California since it's 2017. Total 214.5. It's always correlated with the Clippers, Steve. When they're successful, they play good defense, and they're playing good defense again during this win streak.
Yeah, what's interesting, the last time they played a road game out of California was New Year's Eve at Oklahoma City. This exact team, they lost by over 20 points, so it didn't work out too well for them.
All right, finally, in closing, Steve, we got Kansas and Iowa State tonight. We got North Carolina and Syracuse, but let's take a look at the Big 12 game. Jayhawks down to 2.5 right now. Total's up to $1.55. Different numbers and different books. Kansas lost the first game of the year. They haven't lost since. 16-game win streak. They're only 5-10 against the spread, but they're always laying huge numbers. They're not like a big number here. Cyclones 11-5 straight up, 7-6 against the number. Kansas putting up 86 a night, giving up 70. Iowa State, impressive numbers, 81 points per game. They give up 66. The over is 5-2 last 7 times they've played. Iowa State usually battle them pretty tough, but this is a pretty good Kansas team this year.
Yeah, and Iowa State has a strong home court. In fact, a lot of these Big 12 schools always have strong home courts, and that's held up the last couple years. Iowa State a perfect 2-0 straight up and against the spread at home against Kansas. Won by double digits last year by 13 as a 1-point favorite. So catch them as a home dog here is a little unusual. And they take a lot of three-pointers. I've always felt like Kansas's weakness over the years has been three-point defense. They're always really big down low, but if teams hit their threes, they can beat them. And at home, you would expect Iowa State to shoot pretty well from the arc tonight.
Yeah, I think the over is the play, Steve. I think this game, there's going to be some points.
They've played some high-scoring games recently. There's no question about that.
All right, always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, there's Steve Merrill with us. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers and his greatness. Aaron Rodgers is great, but you got to give credit to Jared Cook for that catch, man. You got a big man like that, man. That was some Fred Flintstone twinkle toe stuff on the sidelines. Eric Bachman, FFPC Fantasy, joins us next. Game Time Decision continues on the Fantasy Sports Network. The show replays at 5 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Networks. Download the app, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Just go to the Twitter page. And, of course, the show replays on television at 5:30. Fantasy Sports Network's Tony Cincata will join me in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about tonight's fantasy slate in the National Basketball Association. Ton of big-time players on the board. And we'll also talk some NFL football. We've got some prices posted already. We've talked a lot of fantasy football, a lot of Green Bay Packer football over the last couple of years with Eric Bachman, FFPC Fantasy. And he'll be joining us in a moment's time. And I remember around that Monday nighter, and I actually had faith. I took the Packers that night, that Monday nighter against the Philadelphia Eagles. They were actually getting 4 points. Who knows what would have happened if they would have lost that football game. But the Green Bay Packer offense is a juggernaut. Or not right now. And Aaron Rodgers in typical great fashion, and it's funny, earlier in the year there were the reports and you know, everyone was saying he's not a great leader. All these former teammates are like, he's not a great guy. He doesn't really talk to anybody. He's not a real leader. But what he does do is make people better. And that's true greatness. That's like what you know made Wayne Gretzky so great. You were on the ice with Wayne Gretzky, suddenly you were better. You're on the ice with Sidney Crosby, suddenly you are better. You're on the field with Joe Montana, suddenly you're better. You're on the field with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, he just wills, you know, he wills the Packers to victory and instills confidence in everybody. And you got a bunch of no-name players right now and the Packers catching a football just absolutely killing it. All right, do we have Eric Bachman with us now? Eric Bachman, FFPC, joins us. Eric, always a pleasure. How you doing?
It's always a pleasure here, but it's a little bit more pleasure coming to you after that game yesterday.
Yeah, a real roller coaster of a season, man. And, you know, the Packers really frustrated me this year. I'm not a Packer fan, but I was a Packer backer. You know, I bet on the Packers a lot this year, and I was losing during the streak. And, you know, it was amazing. You know, McCarthy was on the hot seat. People were questioning whether he was, you know, the guy for the future there. And I was just talking to Eric about how they were saying Aaron Rodgers, not a real leader. Great quarterback, but not a leader in the room. But a real leader leads by example. And he told everybody, we're going to run the table. I'll put this on my shoulders and we'll do this thing. And it's amazing to me. The wide receivers deserve credit for stepping up, but how he extends plays, the perfect throws, this is as good as you've ever seen this guy play before.
Yeah, and I think the offensive line doesn't get enough credit, too. You look at Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari, and along with the interior as well. Those guys have done a fantastic job protecting Rodgers, giving him all that time to throw. I mean, you look, I saw some stat this morning that he's had, you know, something like 50 or 60 plays this season where he's had more than 5 seconds to throw the ball. And I think the next closest guy on that list was like, you know, 33. So he's had more than double the opportunity to extend plays because of that offensive line. The receiver's been great working back to him. But yeah, I mean, he's really playing and has been playing for the last, you know, a month and a half or 2 months or whatever it's been. He's been playing on a different level, even by Aaron Rodgers standards.
You know, looking back, and I was thinking about that Atlanta-Green Bay game, and it might have been the best game of the year, actually, at least off the top of my head. To me, that was the most memorable regular season game of the year. And I had the Falcons in a survivor pool, and I ended up winning the survivor pool. And man, as you remember, the Falcons needed a touchdown. So they come into this game confident. Even if they were down late in this football game this week, Atlanta knows, hey, we beat these guys here this year. We went up and down the field. It's been a hell of a run for the Green Bay Packers. Now, I just had a handicapper on earlier, and we were talking about one thing, though, with the Green Bay Packers. Their secondary still gives up huge chunks. They still give up a ton of big plays. They're still banged up back there. And, you know, the Dallas Cowboys want to run the football. Eli Manning fell apart. The giant wide receivers didn't step up. We know that's not going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons. I look at the Falcons, they're like an Arena Football League team. When you play them, you know, you've got to score every time you get the ball, basically. And, you know, we saw last week, you know, Seattle might not be the same without Earl Thomas, but Matt Ryan still just tore them apart, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned it with the Arena Football comment. I think this is going to be close to an Arena Football game. You saw what Green Bay did against Dallas, getting out to that 21-3 lead, and it really didn't make a whole lot of difference because the secondary let Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant, Ezekiel Elliott all back into the game to tie it up late. And I think with Atlanta, even if a team gets up by 20 points in this game, no matter if it's the Packers or the Falcons, you can't really feel safe if you're that team ahead, because I think that there is going to be so many scores in this game. There's so many prolific playmakers on both sides of the football. Atlanta's defense is much improved than what we're normally accustomed to seeing from Atlanta. Normally, you think of the high octane offense in Atlanta. The defense has been better this year, but it's certainly not a top five defense. So I think, and you know, even if it was the way that Rodgers is playing right now, the way that Matt Ryan is playing right now, I think even if they're going up against elite defenses, you'd still see a lot of scoring in this game. And again, it sounds cliche, but it might just be the team who has the ball last that comes away with this victory.
No, I think you're exactly right. And you know, Vic Beasley didn't tear it apart over the weekend, but he's going to be key chasing Aaron Rodgers this week. And I think it's a good matchup for him. A speed-based player like Beasley. What's amazing, I came across a stat. The Falcons tied with the New England Patriots with the fewest turnovers in a National Football League. And that's amazing to me when you consider how high-octane that offense is and how many plays they run and how quickly they run that offense and how efficient they are with the football. I was talking about it earlier. You can't blitz Matt Ryan. He'll kill you on the blitz. He just dumps it off to Freeman, and Freeman goes for 50 or dumps it off to Coleman. He finds so many different guys. He sprays the ball around. Very, very similar, isn't it, in a sense with Rodgers and Ryan. They both spray the ball around to whoever's open.
Yeah, I think you're looking at two of the top three candidates for the NFL MVP award in this game. It's going to be fantastic to see, you know, how this shakes out. And I think turnovers might tell the story. I mean, it's weird to see a team like Atlanta with two young running backs, a young tight end in Austin Hooper, and you know, a young receiver out there in Taylor Gabriel, that they simply just don't make that many mistakes. And Matt Ryan, obviously a guy who, one of the knocks on him coming out of Boston College was the fact that he threw so many interceptions his senior year. He's learned to take very good care of the football, and honestly, it might not be turnovers that decide this game. It could just be one turnover, you know, that whatever defense is able to stop the opposing offense on you know, one bounce of the ball in the air, or one, you know, tumble of the football on the turf, who lands on it, that might be enough to seal this game. It just might be a case of two defenses that are going to bend quite a bit, maybe not break, and then the team that gets that turnover might set themselves up for victory.
Yeah, and you know, we saw this. It's amazing. We saw this in the Super Bowl years ago with the Buffalo Bills. I swear the Bills would have won the Super Bowl if Hostetler doesn't hang on to the football. He takes a safety in the end zone. Bruce Smith sacked him. Yesterday, Rodgers gets smacked from behind, and he drops that football. You know, the game is a different football game. I don't know. Like, all the great throws that he made, to me, that was just incredible that he hung on to the football. All right, so Jordy Nelson says he wants to play. It's incredible pain. You know, he can put a flak jacket on. You know, the Falcons are going to go right after him right away. Rodgers has been killing it, but it's amazing. Since 2014, Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating, 15 points higher when Jordy Nelson is in the lineup, Eric.
Yeah, the connection that those two have is certainly something beyond what a normal quarterback and a normal receiver have. Given all the experience they've had together, he is going to be a key part of this offense if they are going to win this game and get to the Super Bowl. I think that Nelson does end up playing. I don't know how healthy he is. He might just be out there as a decoy, in the same way that Jared Cook, for a good portion of the season, opened things up for a lot of other people just by his presence on the field. I think Jordy Nelson can have the same impact on this team, opening things up for Adams, Cobb, Cook, what have you. So I think he'll be in uniform. I don't know how healthy he is, and I don't know if he makes enough plays to really be a difference maker from a fantasy standpoint, but yeah. I think he can be a good enough difference maker for the Packers offense to really have them clicking on as many cylinders as possible at this point of the season in late January.
Yeah, if he's on the field, they have to respect him without a doubt. Eric, always a pleasure. Congratulations. To Packer fans. been quite the roller coaster, but I'm on the Falcons this week, so this is where I get off the train.
I still love you, Gabe.
Feelings mutual, Eric. Always a pleasure, my man.
Thanks, man.
There's Eric Bachman with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. The Tony Cincotta joins us next. We'll talk some NBA and some NFL. Game time decisions. We're into our second to last segment. We got our plays of the day coming up. I got a ton of picks today as well. We're hot right now. If we can keep this rolling tonight, then we're into something special. If we're humble tonight, then we're going to be. We'll do a new segment tomorrow. Who ruined your Monday? Let's bring in Tony Cincotta right now. Talk some fantasy basketball, some fantasy football, and football in general. Before we get to the basketball, the Final Four is set. Unbelievable quarterback matchups that we have left right now. Really, Tony, any Super Bowl matchup that you get right now is an entertaining football game. A couple of the Super Bowl matchups are going to make the television executives forget about the soft ratings that they had earlier in the year. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady? That's the one that we haven't had yet. That's the one that you know that the executives want. A Steelers, Packers, that would be entertaining because you got Aaron Rodgers in there. You know, the Falcons are the least sexy of the bunch, but they're the most explosive of the bunch. Pretty cool Final Four.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It tells you need a quarterback in the National Football League to compete at the highest level. But I'm going to give you one play early for you guys that you can write down, lock it down, and he's not a quarterback. I don't know what Andy Reid was thinking about last night. He had an off-field, an off-track, a poor weather against the sixth worst team against the run in football. Why he didn't give the ball to Spencer Ware last night, I have no idea. But the New England Patriots won't make that mistake. LeGarrette Blount will hammer these Pittsburgh Steelers next week.
Well, that's interesting. It's really Russian roulette, man, when you're trying to play a New England Patriot running back in fantasy. It's 1 week it's Blount, another time it's Lewis. You're right, Blount has had success. They're going to try to play some smash mouth football there. Looking at the prices right now, something that caught my eye is the fact that Ben Roethlisberger not getting a lot of love. Cheapest quarterback on the board this week. And Ben, $5,800.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You look at that $5,800, and you have to jump at it, right?
I know.
But it's hard when we see a 61 total in the other game. I mean, I woke up this morning. I knew it would be high, but I figured 57, 58. Woke up to a 61 total. I was like, oh, my God. They're going to be firing the balls out there. Like a couple field goals, and it's an automatic under, right?
Yeah, I gave my first lock of the week, actually. Take the prop under punts in the Packer-Falcon game. Normally the punt prop, Tony's like 9.5. In this game, I bet you the prop will be like 5.5 punts. You know what I mean? Remember years ago when Jim Kelly went and took on Steve Young, Buffalo and San Francisco? Because we all remember they were the two best teams in a decade and never played in the Super Bowl. I think that was the first game without an NFL punt, actually. We might have, I think it could be a similar situation. Rodgers, most expensive. Hell, Matt Ryan, that's value, $7,000. Actually, Tony.
I'll tell you what, and they have a poor secondary. They have free agents playing out there in that Green Bay defensive backfield. And you saw Julio Jones, right? He gets a little banged up again, the foot injury. Just plug in Taylor Gabriel again, and he just comes in and absolutely get it done. So Matt Ryan, I'll tell you what, I don't think there's a high enough price right now. He'd be hard not to go with.
I know. Yeah, you know, it's good as be a Ben. Ben's nice at 58, but Matt Ryan's the play at $7,000. Because, yep. you know what you're getting. I took Matt Ryan in the NFL playoff challenge format, so I got times two numbers, 6 touchdown passes, Tony, 50 fantasy points.
Jeez, you must have loved that.
I need him to make it to the Super Bowl, though, and I need Pittsburgh to knock off New England, and I think they can. But nevertheless, let's talk. Have you locked in your picks yet for these games?
No, I haven't locked in my picks of these games. I'm leaning towards Atlanta and New England, two home games. But I think Pittsburgh was the only team that could have beat New England in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't overly impressed with Brady and that offense the other night. I know Houston's defense was great, but without Gronkowski, they just don't really have anyone scaring anybody. The receivers are banged up, a lot of dink and dunk stuff, and Pittsburgh's defense is better than people realize it is, actually. Got a lot of young, fast linebackers running around right now. All right, so speaking of young, fast stars running around, tonight, I don't know, Tony, for a Monday, you know, LeBron, Irving, Love, Curry, Durant, Westbrook, Paul, Kemba Walker, Isaiah Thomas, okay, everybody, they're all playing tonight. And the key is, you know, who's going to be that value pick? Who's going to be that guy? You know, we got Westbrook, 12,300. Unbelievable. 65 or more DK points in 5 of his last 7 games. But you're spending $12,300. You got Isaiah Thomas for 8 dimes here. How are you approaching tonight?
Yeah, I definitely am not putting Russell Westbrook in my lineup, which I never do. Like, I either have Westbrook or Harden each and every night. I figure it's hard to get along without them. Now, you got to watch in this game to see if Steven Adams, who left with a head injury last game, is out. Enes Kanter's on an absolute roll, so you put him in your lineup if he's out tonight. He has to automatically be in there. And if you want to save a little money, I'm dropping down to that Utah-Phoenix game. Phoenix, absolutely terrible, and nobody's going to touch this one.
Yep.
Phoenix is terrible defensively. Joe Ingles will get the stop for Rodney Hood tonight, and he'll put up 15, 16 points, gets couple assists. We're talking about 25 points at chance for 30. I like Isaiah Thomas. If you're going to look at it, either Isaiah Thomas or you're going to go Russell Westbrook, save the 4,000, go there, because you got to get part of that 220 total with the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavs, and I like them in this order. People don't understand, Klay Thompson actually leads the Golden State Warriors in shots per game. He shot the ball more than Durant. He shot the ball more than Curry, and tonight he has no one guarding him with the injuries to that Cleveland two-guard rotation. So Kevin Durant is the guy that I'm looking for in this game to be the big scorer. But Klay Thompson's only $6,500. He's the best bargain on the whole night.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you. You and I are on the same page. I got Clay circled here. $6,500. Cavaliers allow the fifth most points to shooting guards as well. And I'll tell you what, Kyle Korver ain't going to help that those defensive numbers, Tony. Anytime soon, right? Like, he didn't get brought in for his defense. So I agree with you. I think Clay at $6,500. I was looking to listen. Chris Paul's been awesome, but he's very expensive as well tonight. You look at the Clippers, it's almost like the Patriots on the running backs. They spread it up. I mean, Austin Rivers has been a nice play for pretty cheap as of late. J.J. Redick, $5,600, 26 or more in his last five or six games. Coming off a flat night the other night, but I just don't like J.J. Redick. I don't like him personally, and he always seems to screw me because of it.
Here's the problem with J.J. Redick. He's a scorer, right? So you get, even if you get 23 points from him, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to get any assists. He doesn't
no
get
rebounds,
any
you're right.
He doesn't get steals. He just hangs out at the three-point line. The guy that I would go for, if I want to go the two guy, and I don't go Clay with our guy Clay, I'm going to go Avery Bradley against the Hornets in that one. Bradley is a guy that's back and healthy. He's a guy that contributes, one a great defensive player. He's been scoring more this season. Avery Bradley in that Celtics-Hornets game would be a guy I'd be looking at.
You know, and you said you're not taking Westbrook, but I just want to throw his numbers out there. This is unbelievable. This guy is like a modern-day Chamberlain type of stuff. I think we're taking it for granted, actually, Tony, the sick numbers. I mean, I get it. I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan, but he's doing things we haven't seen since Michael Jordan. He's doing it on a nightly basis right now, where just triple doubles the norm. That doesn't happen in modern sport, Tony.
He's actually doing that without anyone to pass the ball to, for the most part, right? There's a lot of fantasy options there. And we look at it, Victor Oladipo, nice play. Enes Kanter finally getting it done. So he's getting 10 assists every night. And who the heck is he passing to? I'll tell you what, the one negative with him, and it's hard, and you're nitpicking because he's getting a triple-double every night, is he has two quadruple-doubles, right? He had the 10 turnover games to add in there, too.
Yeah.
That's the one thing with his reckless style. But I think it's just about price tonight. He's going to put up 50, 60 points.
Tony, it's always a pleasure, my man. We're getting the hook from Warman. He's like, Tony's got to go. We're done.
Take care, my man.
See you, Tony. Tony Cicada with us. All right, we're going to come back. Man, I got a lot of plays. I told you guys last week, no, I'm not going to give so many picks. I got 10 picks coming up next. We got a full slate of basketball action today in the National Basketball Association due to Martin Luther King Day. Happy Martin Luther King Day, a great American. All right, let's start off with the Hornets and the Celtics. Over 215.5 points. I think there's going to be some points in this basketball game. Let's go with the over. We got the Cavs and the Warriors, man. The Cavaliers have beaten them four straight times. You get the feeling that eventually the Warriors are just going to kill them. And oftentimes, you know, they were up by double digits earlier this year. But with that being stated, they're beating them four straight times. I'm getting 7.5 points with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I got to believe the pride is going to kick in this game. There were reports that they were not going to play the big three tonight. Yeah. You're going to rest your guys on Martin Luther King Day, as if you guys know, and this is going to be a losing pick because I never freaking win when I take an under, but I'm taking under 229 points in this basketball game. That's a hell of a lot of points. You know, the last 10 times these two teams have played, they've only scored over 229 points once. All right? Once. It's a lot of points, man. I'm going under the number. Speaking of a lot of points, give me the Oklahoma City Thunder plus the 7.5. Let's go over 215 with the Thunder and the Clippers. Seton Hall and Villanova. Seton Hall beat these guys last year in the Big East. Villanova's trying to win their 47th consecutive on-campus home game tonight. I think they will, but Seton Hall match up tough with them. It's 14. Give me the 14. Let's go over 140 points. Syracuse and North Carolina. The way to mess Syracuse up is if you can shoot the three. North Carolina can shoot the three. This game's going to be a track meet, all right? North Carolina don't play defense. Over 153.5 at a big-time college ball game tonight. Kansas Jayhawks, man. These guys have won 16 in a row. They haven't lost since they lost the first game of the season. They're minus 150 on the money line. And we'll wrap it up with the over of this basketball game as well. May the winners be yours.